athletes take drugs for a lot of reasons. Pain management, muscle building, so they can fall asleep or so that they can stay asleep, or they need them when they wake up in the morning, or for no reason other than recreation. While we aren't completely sure which came first, drugs or sports, the two have always commingled. Drug use in sports can be traced back to the ancient Olympics, when athletes drank what were called magic potions or ate special foods. All of this was done in an attempt to gain competitive advantage. Currently, there exist over 190 banned drugs, which have been labeled as performance-enhancing by the World Anti-Doping Authority. The most popular performance-enhancing drugs are anabolic steroids and human growth hormone. Proponents of anabolic steroids claim that they increase muscle mass, reduce body fat, and that after being injured, they reduce recovery time. These performance-enhancing drugs can produce some serious side effects in addition to their benefits. Some of the effects are minimal and only occur while the drug is being taken. Others are more severe and long-term. Anabolic steroids can cause high blood pressure, irregularities in liver function, kidney failure, heart disease, and impotence in men, as well as irregular menstrual cycles in women. In Major League Baseball, the heyday of PEDs can be traced back to former Oakland A, Jose Canseco. Quote, "I was known as the godfather of steroids in baseball. I introduced steroids into the big leagues back in 85. Steroids were finally banned in 1991 by Major League Baseball. However, testing for players did not begin until the 2003 season. That's a lot like having a speed limit, but no police officer with a radar gun on the side of the road. As of the 2021 season, 12,000 tests were conducted, including 10 randomly selected players from every team every week of the regular season. During the off-season, players may be selected up to 6 times for random drug testing. Since 2005, 79 major leaguers have been suspended anywhere from 10 games to a permanent suspension for Henry Mieja in 2015, which was overturned on appeal in 2018. The most recent player suspended for PEDs was Fernando Tatis Jr., shortstop for the San Diego Padres. He was suspended for 80 games on August 12, 2022. Fernando was featured on the cover of MLB's The Show video game in 2021. Perhaps the use of drugs explains his 95 overall rating. But, as we talked about earlier, there are dangerous downsides to drugs. The high-risk behavior has its own hazards with known side effects of what is being taken. But often there are hidden uncertainties when the drugs are laced with unknown substances, such as fentanyl. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid normally used by patients who have severe chronic pain or pain following a surgery. Fentanyl is comparable to morphine, but about 100 times more powerful. Patients who have been prescribed fentanyl are closely monitored by their physician. A 2020 study about increases in fentanyl mortality published by the National Library of Medicine states that overdose deaths from synthetic opioids such as fentanyl increased tenfold in the United States from 2013 to 2018. In short, fentanyl is one of the deadliest street drugs available, and the worst problem is that someone cannot even tell if they are taking it or if the dose of fentanyl is a lethal one. And this is the tragedy that befell Los Angeles Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Skaggs was found dead on July 1, 2019, in Southlake, Texas. Skaggs was scheduled to play a series against the Texas Rangers. His autopsy concluded that he died from choking on his own vomit after a fentanyl, alcohol, and oxycodone overdose. I'm your host, Nina Instead, and this is Deadball. Tyler Skaggs was born to Debbie and Darnell Skaggs on July 13, 1991, in Woodland Hills, California. As a child, Tyler hung around Santa Monica High School's softball team, which was coached by his mom, Debbie. His love for the game of baseball started at a young age. He helped his mom's players by fielding batting practice and bringing the baseballs back in. Along with baseball, Tyler played basketball and football. His tall, skinny build earned him the nickname Pole from his teammates. By his junior year, he was already being recruited by Cal State Fullerton, Arizona, UC Irvine, UCLA, and Oregon. They were all looking at the 16-year-old who had just been named the Ocean League Player of the Year after earning a 1.11 ERA. As a sophomore, Tyler pitched in the Division IV final against Covina Charter. His team would lose 7-1, but Tyler never forgot the feeling of pitching in Dodger Stadium. In an interview, he said, "It was pretty scary, a sophomore pitching at Dodger Stadium. Now I think of every game as a Dodger Stadium game. I get nervous, but never as nervous." But it wasn't just universities in the crowd hoping to entice young Tyler to their program. There were MLB scouts in the stands with their speed guns and notebooks studying his velocity and command. Kevin Towers, former general manager of the San Diego Padres, told the Santa Monica Daily Press, "Our area scout likes him a great deal. I like his size, his arm strength." Matt Hadabaugh, an area scout for the Colorado Rockies, said of Tyler, "Somebody is going to give this guy a job, and I hope it's us. This guy has the makings of a big league pitcher." Even Tommy Lasorda was seen at one of Tyler's games giving the kid a once-over. Tyler was offered a scholarship to pitch for Cal State Fullerton, but with all this early attention from the bigs, a college career was not in the cards for young Tyler. He was ready for professional baseball, and LA was there to draft him in 2009, keeping the Santa Monica native close to home, which I'm sure Mom was happy with. Tyler was taken as the 40th overall pick, 15 slots after LA drafted Mike Trout, the 10-time All-Star and 3-time American League MVP. Tyler made his professional debut at 17 years old, earning a 3.60 ERA in 10 innings for rookie-level Arizona and rookie-level Orem. The kid was playing professional baseball before he could vote or legally drink a beer. Tyler went to the Arizona Diamondbacks as part of a trade deadline deal in 2010, going with fellow pitchers Patrick Corbin, Joe Saunders, and Rafael Rodriguez. The Angels received Dan Herron. Tyler was the infamous player to be named later in the trade. He made his way to the Diamondbacks' dugout on August 7th. In 2012, at 21 years of age, Tyler made his big league debut at Chase Field against the Marlins. He threw a great game. 2 runs on 3 hits with 4 strikeouts in 6 2/3 innings. That first game with the Diamondbacks would be the one bright spot of that year. Tyler lost his next 3 decisions and, over his 6 games started, he allowed 20 runs and 30 hits with a 5.86 ERA. His next year, 2013, would be about the same. Tyler started 7 games, allowing 23 runs on 38 hits with a 2-3 record. The old adage, you can never go home again, well, it might be true for some, but not for young Tyler. After 2 seasons in the desert of Arizona, he would be returning home to Los Angeles. Prior to the 2014 season, on December 10th, 2013, Tyler received word that he was part of a trade once again. In a 3-way deal, LA acquired Tyler from Arizona along with 26-year-old pitcher Hector Santiago from the White Sox. Arizona received 28-year-old Mark Trumbo, as well as minor league reliever A.J. Shugel and minor leaguer 25-year-old Brandon Jacobs. The White Sox obtained 25-year-old Adam Eaton, who was the 11th most valuable position player in the majors the previous year. It seemed like a good trade for all involved. It was a warm evening on July 31st that season in Baltimore, and Tyler was pitching a great game. 4.2 innings pitched, and he had allowed no runs, no hits, striking out 7 and walking 2. He was cruising to a no-hitter against the first-place Orioles when he injured his arm on a changeup. Tyler told local reporters, quote, "My forearm, more like my flexor tendon, completely tightened up on me. Couldn't really feel my fingers, tried to pitch through it. Still got the strikeout on J.J. Hardy, but it was killing me. As a result of his injury, Tyler had ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction, which ended his 2014 homecoming season. During his recovery, Tyler made the decision not to pitch in 2015 so that he could focus fully on his health. That year, the Angels finished third in the AL West with an 85-77 record. Tyler returned to the mound in 2016, cobbling together a 3-4 record over 10 games started. The bright spot was his, up to that point, career-low ERA of 4.17. Injuries would continue to plague him. On March 30, 2017, Tyler suffered a grade 2 oblique strain and was out for 3 months. In 2018, Tyler once again found himself returning to the disabled list with a left groin injury. Tyler was in the middle of playing his worst game of the season, having already given up 10 runs to the Tampa Bay Rays. He told the local media, "I know it's not very serious, but it's extremely, extremely frustrating. Words can't even describe how frustrated I am at the moment, especially after the outing I had. I really want to come back and pitch the way I have been all season. It's extremely frustrating. I'm not happy at the moment right now." He finished the 2018 season with an 8-10 record and a 4.02 ERA. In 2019, Tyler earned 7 wins and 7 losses. He scored a 4.29 ERA with 78 strikeouts. He led the team with wins and strikeouts that year. Unfortunately, it was the last season of his career. The Angels were headed to Arlington to play the Rangers for an early July series. Tyler snapped a photo of his teammates in full cowboy regalia, hats, cowboy shirts, bolo ties, and belt buckles, in front of their chartered plane on June 30th. Tyler's newlywed, Carly, posted a similar picture of Tyler on her Instagram of him in his colorful cowboy shirt and hat. Hours before their game, at the team hotel, Tyler was not answering his door or calls to his room. Tyler was found in his bed, clothed with no signs of trauma, but he was unresponsive. On August 30, 2019, findings were released which stated that due to mixed ethanol, fentanyl, and oxycodone intoxication, Tyler choked to death, according to findings by Dr. Mark Krause, Tarrant County Deputy Chief Medical Examiner. Tyler's family released a statement that they were heartbroken to learn the cause of death. "That is completely out of character for someone who worked so hard to become a Major League Baseball player and had a very promising future in the game he loved so much," the statement read. "We were shocked to learn that it may involve an employee of the Los Angeles Angels. We will not rest until we learn the truth about how Tyler came into possession of these narcotics, including who supplied them," the statement said, adding that they had hired a lawyer to investigate. General Manager Billy Epler said, "It's hard to find the words just how difficult the last couple of months have been on everybody within this organization." According to video aired before the team's Friday night game against the Red Sox, "We miss Tyler every day. That clubhouse misses him every day," Epler said. "We miss him in our lives and we pray for him. We pray for his family every day." Investigators did not need to go far to find the responsible party for supplying Tyler drugs which took his life. On August 7, 2020, former Angels Communications Director Eric Prescott K., 45, was charged via criminal complaint with conspiracy to distribute a mixture containing detectable amounts of fentanyl. He was arrested in Fort Worth, Texas. Inside Tyler's hotel room, investigators discovered several pills, including a single blue pill, which, after being analyzed, revealed it to be a 30-milligram oxycodone tablet laced with fentanyl. According to the Centers for Disease Control, fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that is up to 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine. Fentanyl and other synthetic opioids are the most common drugs involved with overdose deaths. Even in small doses, it can be deadly. Over 150 people die every day from overdoses related to synthetic opioids like fentanyl. In an initial interview with law enforcement, Mr. K allegedly denied knowing whether Tyler was a drug user. He claimed the last time he'd seen him was at hotel check-in on June 30th. However, a search of Tyler's phone revealed text messages from June 30th suggesting he had asked Mr. K to stop by his room with pills later that evening. According to prosecutors, K provided opioids to Tyler and five other players beginning in 2017. Throughout the course of the trial, several players testified they obtained what were called blue boys from K, which were the color of the oxycodone pills. The Drug Enforcement Administration stated that K supplied Skaggs with numerous 2-milligram oxy pills, which, turned out, were laced with the lethal fentanyl. On Tuesday, October 11th, prosecutors introduced a phone call from K and his mother into court records, where K insulted Tyler, his family, and the sitting jury. Quote, "I hope people realize what a piece of shit he is," K told his mother. "Well, he's dead, so fuck him." K went on to call Tyler's family dumb and white trash, along with calling the jury that convicted him fat, sloppy, toothless, and unemployed. You know, unless you've been living under a rock your whole life, you know that phone calls from jail are recorded, which either makes K a simpleton or a callous scumbag. K, age 48, was sentenced to 22 years in prison for his involvement in Tyler's death. But that's not the end of the story. While justice was served to the man responsible for this young man's death, a team and a family were still dealing with the death of a loved one. In what can only be described as surreal and uplifting, the Angels' first home game following Tyler's death was played July 12th. All the players wore Tyler's number 45 jersey in his honor, and there was a special pregame ceremony. On a night filled with memories of Tyler and roaring emotion, the Angels threw a combined no-hitter in a 13-0 win. Following the game, Mike Trout told reporters, "You can't make this stuff up. Tyler was definitely looking over us tonight. He's probably up there saying we're nasty and just what an unbelievable game to be part of. I'm speechless. This is the best possible way to honor him. It was pretty crazy." Prior to that night, the last combined no-hitter in the state of California was on July 13th, 1991, the day Tyler was born. The legacy Tyler leaves us with is the Tyler Skaggs Foundation, founded in 2019 to empower young people through the gift of sports by supporting athletic programs and other initiatives that provide the tools to build confidence, teamwork, and leadership skills. The foundation supports individual athletes, teams, and larger initiatives to ultimately create a positive impact on young people. I'm your host, Nina Instead. This episode was written and produced by Thad Scott. Deadball was created by Tim Scott. If you'd like to learn more about the podcast or to connect with like-minded fans, please check out the Deadball Facebook group.
Center.